Hi there. This is Christy with the Virtue Podcast for Acts chapter 2, which is one of, if not the most exciting portions of scripture in the entire Bible, because what happens in this chapter makes everything we're going to read about in the next 26 chapters of Acts and really the rest of the New Testament possible. Ordinary men were given the ability to preach the gospel with convincing and convicting power, to perform miracles and healings. And that's the exciting stuff. But what about the hard stuff involved in fulfilling the Great Commission? To persevere and endure through extreme situations like homelessness, going without food for days, hostilities, beatings, and imprisonments. We will read about ordinary men doing extraordinary and exciting things, and also doing hard, impossible things, all because the Holy Spirit came and He is still here, making the impossible possible through ordinary men and women. I've taught Acts 2 a few times before, and the last time was actually in 2005, which really feels like a lifetime ago because so much has happened over the years, especially in the last two. Things I could never have imagined in just so many ways. The times aren't the same, I'm not the same, and this is not the same message. I'm more excited about the opportunities for the church today than I was then. And I have greater expectations too, because the pressure is on, the time is short, but the opportunities are unlimited. And we have everything that we have need of. We have the blueprint, we have our orders, and we have the power. And just think for a minute. The next great epic fulfillment of prophecy is the church being called up to meet Jesus in the clouds, and that could happen in our lifetime. This could be the prophecy we see fulfilled, or it could be 10 generations from now or more. We really don't know. But if we aren't the generation that is called up to meet Jesus in the clouds, how will history remember the way we stewarded our opportunities today? Will they say they were of one mind while waiting? They turned their upside down world right side up. Will we be remembered this way, like the believers in the Acts? I think about these things today and I really pray over them, because if we are the generation who meets the Lord in the clouds, know this, we will be remembered for how we stewarded our opportunities and how we responded to a world in absolute chaos. So in reading Acts 2 verses 1 through 4, we can immediately see that Luke wrote in a super understated way about the Holy Spirit's coming, just facts. So this makes me slow down and reread and really think about these facts, the sound, the fire, and what it all felt like. So using my imagination, I imagine this event went something like this. The Holy Spirit descends from heaven like a rocket, breaking through all of the barriers between heaven and earth, all the cosmos, space and sky, atmosphere and stratosphere, jettisoning and propelling himself down and down until spirit met flesh. The sound of his entrance was so powerful that Luke's closest description is that he sounded like a violent rushing wind. Maybe it was a sonic boom. The sound was concentrated into one room, but was also heard by the multitudes outside. And he broke language barriers too. People from all of the nations of Rome were gathered in Jerusalem, and they heard about the mighty deeds of God in their very own language as the Holy Spirit came upon the believers. He gave them new words, words they had never spoken before. Acts 2:11. This is the first manifestation of a spiritual gift recorded in Scripture. The gift of tongues or languages is so misunderstood and sometimes misused, but so are some of the other gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm a lifer in Christ, but when I was 16 years old, I wanted more. And so the Lord connected me to a small Bible study one evening, and I only went once. But I shared this desire with a few of the older women, and they prayed over me like I've never been prayed over before or since. They prayed for the Holy Spirit to come upon me And he did. And I did receive the gift of tongues or languages that evening. And I use it in my prayer time when I want to worship the Lord. And also when I don't know how to pray over situations, this gift is very comforting to me. And it increases my faith because I know I took 3 years of French. And pretty much all that I remember is parlez-vous français? I mean, that's it. Sorry. I didn't do very well in my French classes. So this is the thing. I know this gift comes from the Holy Spirit. It's real. He's real. And he's alive in me. And the Holy Spirit wasn't only heard. He was seen too. His appearance was manifested as multiple flames of fire, Acts 2:3. And that's amazing. But just think, he came as one sound, but in contrast, he was seen in multiple individual flames of fire that were being distributed on each person in the room. That's not a side note. That's an important note, and it means something. We can come to three important conclusions about the fiery flames being distributed on each. One, the Holy Spirit is God. God in the Old Testament has appeared as fire a number of times. Page 27 of your Acts lesson book makes note of this. Two, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He can be in more than one place at a time. His appearance as multiple flames on each demonstrates his ability to be with us individually at the same time and to also be with us collectively. Only God can do this. And three, the Holy Spirit is available for everyone. He came upon everyone, not just one person in that room. And Acts 2:39 explains this. And while I know he is actively working in others' lives, he always makes me feel like I have his undivided attention because I do, and so do you. It's hard to get someone's undivided attention for any period of time, isn't it? And yet, it's something we all crave. We all want to be the center of someone else's universe, don't we? You see, from our perspective, it's all about him, but from his perspective, it's all about you and me. We are the center of his universe, and he proved it when he gave his only son. I have only one son, one child, and there isn't one person on this earth that I love enough that I would give his life for, not even one. The Lord will listen to you all day long and never get bored. Everything you talk to him about matters because you matter to him, and he just want you to know that today and that he is with you and you are not alone. So after these things, Peter takes his stand with the 11 in Acts 2 verse 14. And this is the second time words like these are used in regards to Peter. Acts 1:15 does also. Yes, we see new boldness and courage in Peter for sure. But it's Peter taking his stand with the 11 in his position as an apostle and a leader of the apostles, which I take special note of. We can easily see the empowering of the Holy Spirit in Peter and that he has been fully restored to his position and his calling. And if the other apostles thought less of Peter because of his prior cowardice moment, this taking his stand moment took care of all of that. While Peter's most humiliating act is recorded in Scripture forever, so is this one. And something new was added to Peter that day too. I think Peter may have had the gift of gab before the Holy Spirit came upon him, but now he has the gift of teaching, and so he preached his first sermon without reading commentaries, preparing an outline or notes. Peter just opened his mouth and the Holy Spirit filled it. And he preached powerfully to those who had sincere questions and didn't understand, but he also preached to those who weren't sincere and didn't want to understand, which is another thing that I find noteworthy. We don't need to concern ourselves with the motives of men's hearts. Those who mock the message of salvation, just preach the word and let the Holy Spirit sort it out. Remember, God will not be mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. That's Galatians 6:7. Peter pierced their hearts with the sword of the word of God, those who questioned sincerely and not so sincerely, which we read about in verse 37. Remember the last time Peter used a sword when feeling defensive in the garden? One man lost his ear, and Jesus had to do cleanup. In contrast, Empowered by the Holy Spirit, Peter used the sword of the Word of God so effectively that 3,000 souls were added to the church that day, as Acts 2:41 records. A whole new Peter, a whole new message with power, and a whole bunch of new converts. Proof of the Holy Spirit's presence and power. So who is he exactly? Who is the Holy Spirit? First off, the Holy Spirit is a he, not an it. The Holy Spirit is one of the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He has all of the attributes of God, but he has his own ministry towards us like Jesus. All three of the Godhead were together in the beginning. We read about the Holy Spirit's existence and involvement in creation in Genesis. The earth was formless and completely dark. It really wasn't earth as we know it. Genesis 1:2 reads, "And the Spirit of God was moving," or some translations, "hovering over the water." The Hebrew words in the creation story are unique. They speak about the process of creating, not making. For example, we make meals from ingredients we already have. A farmer grew the veggies, the meat, and then it was processed for sale, and then we make our own meals. We also make cars and buildings from materials that are already formed by another process. Genesis is speaking about the Spirit of God creating something out of nothing. He created gravity and electromagnetic fields, and no doubt a bunch of other stuff that I can't even begin to imagine. He created all of that in order to create a sphere, which is the earth. We can also read about the Spirit of God being involved in judgment. This is a time when all three of the Godhead came down to earth together. Genesis 11:7, "Come, let us go down." This is how they describe themselves, as us. Us is capitalized as a personal pronoun, like a person's name. We can also see the Holy Spirit's involvement in many familiar ways to us in the Old Testament, like Exodus 35:31, which records the Spirit giving wisdom, understanding, and knowledge for building the tabernacle. This sounds a lot like the gifts we studied about on page 28 in our Acts lesson book. We also see the Spirit coming upon a man and transforming him in 1 Samuel 10:6. "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man." This was a prophetic word spoken to Saul by Samuel about him being king. So we can both appreciate his existence and his involvement in the Old Testament in ways that we ascribe to God the Father, but can also relate to, in familiar ways from the New Testament, the Holy Spirit has always been with God. He has no beginning or end. He was not created, and his ministry today is the continuing ministry of Jesus as God with us and in us. That's what the power is. It's him. The power isn't a separate force. It's him in us. Greater is he who is in you than he who was in the world. That's 1 John 4:4. And because of him in us, we can know things we wouldn't otherwise know, and we can do things we wouldn't otherwise be able to do. The theme of our study is empowered, which perfectly describes why we are able to live the life of Christianity. It's not easy being a Christian. I mean, we can't even obey the Ten Commandments without his help. And the work of Christ? Who can sustain the work of Christ without supernatural help? I'm remembering a quote by Hudson Taylor, the great missionary of China, that goes this way. "There are three stages to every great work of God. First, it is impossible. Then it's difficult. Then it is done." That about says it, because there is no easy work of Christ. The life and work Christ calls us to is impossible. But through the empowering the Holy Spirit, it is done. Empowered happens to be a really popular word in our culture. It's common to hear this word used on the daily, but most often its use relates more to privileges instead of responsibilities. For the believer, empowered means both privilege and responsibility. The word empowered means to give someone the authority or power to do something. We have been given authority and power to fulfill the commands of God. Some synonyms for empowered are authorize, entitle, permit, allow, sanction, delegate, and commission, which is a word we are very familiar with from our studies. It's easy to see that privilege and responsibility are hand in glove as it relates to being empowered by the Holy Spirit. A scripture verse that describes this duality really well is 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We have the power, and the fragile jar of clay serves its purpose by exposing the power is not our own. It is God, and I don't like feeling my fragility, and I'm sure you don't either. I just want to feel the power, and sometimes I do, but this is the thing. He can be working powerfully through our shattered clay, even when we don't feel it. Feelings don't matter. I just read this the other day by Oswald Chambers. God rarely allows a soul to see how great a blessing he is. I think we can all imagine why. It doesn't matter what we feel. It only matters that he does what he wants to do. The Holy Spirit doesn't need a beautiful clay pot without flaws, chips, and cracks. He just needs us to get out of the way so he can have his way in and through us. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's the Holy Spirit living in me which makes that a possibility. But listen to this beloved verse in the Amplified Bible. I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. I think someone needs to hear Philippians 4:13 in the Amplified Bible today. I know I do. So friends, be encouraged today and remember, we do have the blueprint, we do have our orders, and we do have the power. Believe in it, walk in it, and rest in it. And so Holy Spirit, I pray for all of us now. We need you. We open our hearts and our hands to you, and we ask for you to come upon us this very moment. We ask for the distribution of your gifts to be active in us. You choose each gift as best gives you glory and strengthens the church. And we ask these things in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.